Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, here we are, by golly. We have some knowledgeable people on the other side of the desk. Oh, no, come on. Don't sell yourself short. No. His name is Michael Johnson. He happens to be a state senator, a job you've had now for how many?
6 years.
6 years. You're not up for election this fall?
I am not. No. Thank you.
Are you going to term limit yourself?
At some point, yes.
At some point.
If the people in my district don't, then yes, I will at some point. Yes.
Tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
Sure. Senator Michael Johnson, represent District 16, which is Teague Cay, Fort Mill, and Indian Land. Roughly 116,000, 118,000 people and growing. It will not stop growing. Real estate attorney, father of two, live in Teague Cay, served 7 years on the Fort Mill School Board and 8 on the County Council. A little bit of that time as the chairman of the council. Don't miss that, but was fortunate to get elected in 2020 to the state senate, and really have enjoyed the past 6 years.
That's a lot of government work.
It is, but I will say each one probably built on the next.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it helps to understand what's happening in local government when you go to Columbia. I have zero interest in ever going to Washington, D.C. other than as a tourist. I have no interest in being in the governor's mansion or anything else. This is the best job I've ever had. I think what I learned on the county council really has helped me a lot sitting in Columbia as we do things. And so I appreciate what I've done, but I enjoy what I do.
There you go. So in all those years on the school board and on the county council, you were dealing with an issue that just has percolated more and more every year, called growth. Not one Straight Talk program with an elected official doesn't involve growth. And now we're here in South Carolina. When I came here in 1984, I think, our population was somewhere around 3 million. We're now sitting at 5.5 million.
Yep.
And we're the fastest growing state in the union. And you live in a district in the Fort Mill area, Teague Cay area, that is almost maxed out in terms of how many additional people we can bring there.
We're thinking about building on top of each other at this point. It's funny. I walk in the restaurant and somebody says, I'm thinking about leaving Fort Mill. It's just becoming too overcrowded.
Yeah.
It is an issue, and I think it's something that we at a state level need to give local government more ammunition, more arrows in the quiver, so to speak, to handle it. And I've been very fortunate. I've sat on some subcommittees that have studied growth. I spent 8 years on the county council constantly dealing with it. And there's a new subcommittee or special committee that's been created just to do that, to try to give local government more weapons to better manage growth. Manning, you can't stop it. There's no magic wall that we can stop people coming down 77 on. But what we can do is we can do a better job of it and make sure that existing people from South Carolina, people who are in South Carolina, aren't having to pay the extra tax burden for all the brand new people who move here.
But as you pointed out, the gentleman you were talking with here in the restaurant was talking about traffic. Now, traffic is a problem anywhere you go in South Carolina. I-26 is, of course, the famous road. It's being widened now. I hope I live to see that project done.
You and me both.
But yeah, but quite frankly, somebody needs to come up with the same amount of money to do I-77. Because between Columbia and Rock Hill, it's a mess.
it is a never, you know, one of the things I get to do is I sit on the Rock Hill Fort Mill area transportation system, and on RFATS, we once said, you can't widen our way out of this problem. And you can't. What we have to do is, one, it'd be nice if York County could bring, could keep more people at home who, instead of going to Charlotte in the morning, right? I mean, let's bring some businesses down here. Let's do that. Let's create that environment more and more to do that. And then, quite honestly, as I like to say, I can get you from TGK to the interstate, but once you're on that interstate headed north, there ain't a whole lot I can do to help you. I mean, you're going to eventually hit North Carolina, and it is a mess.
Yeah,
the whole way.
The good way, the good old malfunction junction, as they call it, where 77 meets, yeah, whatever the heck that is, the beltway around Charlotte, 485, yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, it's a mess. It stops all the time. So you're on this committee. The committee, I know, hasn't met yet.
Not yet.
But you know what the mission is, and I think you're right on when you say the tools, we need to give more tools to the localities so they can keep get more jobs here. Okta Pharma is a perfect example. We're bringing 1,200 jobs down here. 300 are going to be relocating from Charlotte. That's great. Less traffic on the road. But the fact of the matter is we have lots of businesses up in North Carolina that pay bigger wages to people, and how are we going to get that replicated down here?
Well, one, and it's such a multi-pronged problem. We have a tax problem. We are taxing our businesses higher. We have a property, and that's just corporate tax, income tax. Property taxes are out of control, and our infrastructure and our workforce, quite honestly, we need. I know you and I were talking off air about York Tech and what a just a gem it is, and how our tech school system in South Carolina is just fantastic. But we need to replicate York Tech all over the state, and it's not. I can tell you, all tech schools are not equal. There are a bunch doing great jobs, but York Tech is a shining example, and we need to replicate that. Train our workers, get kids out of high school ready, prepared. Not everyone needs to go to college. We back in the 80s when I was in high school, everybody's like, oh no, everybody's got to go to college. Everybody's got to go to college. No, everybody doesn't have to go to college. The worst thing you can do is have that, French literature degree, and now you're working at minimum wage somewhere, right? I mean, that is not a helpful degree. We need to train our workers. We need to incentivize the right companies to come to South Carolina. It's not every company. Everybody doesn't need a fee in lieu agreement. Everybody doesn't need a tax abatement. But you bring in the right companies that attract the right types, high-paying, good jobs for our workforce. It can happen. But I think, we really do have to hear, we have to kind of say, we are intrinsically tied to Charlotte. We denied that for so many years. Oh, no, Charlotte. No, we are. As Charlotte goes, we will go. And as we go, Charlotte will go. And that's something that they have to remember in Charlotte as well. So I think this is a great relationship. We just got to – there are areas to improve.
As somebody said one time, Rock Hill, Charlotte is really the engine. And we're just one of the cars. We might be the caboose. Who knows? We're one of the cars.
I like to think we're very close to the front.
But we are no longer the redheaded stepchild of South Carolina, as Betty Jo Ray, the former mayor, used to say all the time. We've got strong leadership down there. We're a growing sector of the state, and people are, they're paying a heck of a lot of attention to us and helping out with the things that you're talking about. All right. So imagine you're going to have your first meeting of this growth committee. You're going to throw out what? What would you throw out to them and say, you know what, we should focus our attention on X?
We should focus our attention on when a developer says, I want to put 100 homes on this plot of land. The question needs to be asked, what is the cost to everyone else in the community for you to do so? What is it going to cost us to add more fire, more ambulance, more water? Do we have the power capabilities? What is it going to do to our roads? What is it going to do to our schools? And then we need to be able to take a formula, figure out an idea of what that is, And whether you call it an impact fee or a, hey, these things have to happen first. You can't build 1,000 homes in the middle of nowhere on a two-lane road that you know it needs to become a five-lane road that's going to cost my taxpayers $20-30 million 5 years from now.
Yeah.
There has to be a symbiotic relationship where, yes, you, Mr. Builder, Mr. Developer, you get to make money. You get to bring these things to South Carolina. But you can't burden everyone who's already here with that cost.
So I might suggest back to you, as a constituent, Senator, we have these large surpluses in our state budget every year. Why don't you put aside $100 million to which the counties could apply to purchase land, just to hold the land so you control what's going to go on there. I can remember years ago, and I don't think you were on county council then, but when your county had a very large surplus and they were concerned about the very same thing you were talking about. What are we going to do with this prime land? Well, the only thing you can do is control it. If you own the land, you control what goes there. If you don't, you're out.
You know, I remember when Gaston County bought up a lot of land along I-77, and then they started giving it away. They would give the land away to companies that they wanted to be there. Look, there are a lot of ways to skin this cat. I think that we have to be – what I don't like is the thought that government somehow is going to compete with the private sector for one of the last great resources that we have, which is property. So I don't disagree with you that we need to – I think we should be preserving more land as farmland. I think we should be preserving more areas, green spaces. And I think government plays a huge role in doing that. There are a lot of ways to get this done. You know, that's why you're going to get about 16 smart senators, hopefully, in a room, and we'll try to talk about
it. All right. So now, why don't you figure that one out? Here's another one that I know you've spent a lot of time on that is a big issue all over the country, and that is data centers. We're going to have data centers. That's the world that we live in, as somebody pointed out the other day. They are basically the new industry for the 21st century. We're not building factories anymore. We're building data centers. But there's a lot of issues surrounding data centers in a lot of communities that have got the state looking at legislation to do this and do that. Where are you on the data centers?
Data centers, it's like being 1870 again, and someone came to you in your little town and said, by the way, we're going to run a railroad through your town, and you said no. And by, say 1900, you were on the outside looking in. I view data centers the same way. We can't say no, but we do have to regulate them. I was the chairman of a subcommittee that handled a data center bill, put it on the floor of the Senate. We just ran out of time last year to get to it. Hopefully it'll be something we tackle in January when we return. There's three major issues. One is water.
Yeah.
You have to require a closed-loop system that says, look, you're going to put an initial million gallons of water in the system, and then on an annual basis, maybe you need to put another 100,000, 200,000. That sounds a lot to a lot of people. TKK Golf Course, Springfield Golf Course, Fort Mill, and Waterford are using more than 5 million gallons a week of water. It is not a lot of water if you do it one time. It has to be a closed-loop system, and it can't be a constant draw. The second major issue that we face is power. How are we going to power these? And everybody likes to blame data centers as the problem. Data centers aren't the problem. What data centers have done is they've exposed the real problem, the lack of an energy policy in the United States. We lack a comprehensive energy policy on how we're going to power everything, not just data centers, but our houses, our businesses, the cars, you know, the electric cars that you're driving. We've got to let these data centers bring their own power. There's a data center up in Spartanburg that's trying to build right now. They want to put $300 million in a natural gas-fired plant that they're going to build, and they're the only ones going to use it. Think about it. They're willing to invest that kind of money, hire people, employ people, just for their own power. We need to require you to bring your own power. If you're going to be here, bring your own power. And then third, we have to figure out how you're going to locate them. and how the, we're going to handle the noise and the other things that surround that location. They should certainly only be in heavy industrial areas. They shouldn't be next door to residential or anything like that. And personally, I believe county councils should have to designate a zoning specific for data centers so that when that secret groups coming through, you see that rezoning, you know exactly what it is. You know it's a data center. If one of my biggest concerns is people are so worried about data centers. If I told you that something was going to produce $20 million in tax revenue for your county, which was going to help your schools and help your roads and all the things, and that they were going to employ 50 people, so it wasn't going to be a lot of people on the roads every day going to and from work, you would be excited. But then when I say, well, that's a data center, you quit being excited. To anyone who is like, I'm anti-data center, I don't want this, well, man, make sure you turn off your phone.
Oh, yeah.
And you quit using AI, sure. And you quit using all of these things, because every one of us are using a data center every single day, and this can't be not in my backyard. Eventually, we're going to have to create real rules and work on this.
Yeah. You know, somebody pointed out in one of the interviews I did with QTS a month or so ago, data centers are the cloud. Everybody talks about the cloud. That's the cloud.
That is the cloud.
And every time you use this doggone thing in your pocket or purse, you're going to a data center. So if you don't want data centers, throw all these in the Catawba River, and you know that's not going to happen. So we got to figure out a way how to coexist.
When you back up your iPhone and all the pictures on your iPhone, it's going into a data center.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, there's no amorphous cloud. It's a data center.
That's amazing. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Okay, here we are. Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We do fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week. How the heck we do it is in the white letters, and if you can read the King's English, we want you to participate at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on a fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Founders can help you stop worrying about high-interest credit cards and loans. Now through September 30th, well-qualified borrowers can take advantage of a balance transfer at 0% APR for 12 months. Pause the interest on your high-rate balances. Upon expiration, APR will then revert to the standard variable APR, currently 12.5% to 17.9%. If credit criteria are not met, 17.9% APR will apply. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on a fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Senator Michael Johnson is with us. He represents the Fort Mill area, District Number 16, Fort Mill, TKK, and Lord knows what other areas up and down the interstate. So you have been very vocal, and I've read your newsletter. about this whole issue that's got a lot of attention this year, more so than ever. Earmarks. We've passed $350 million worth of earmarks that the governor swaddled and signed off on. He rejected a couple of them, but I think $220 million or something was from the House, and $130 million was from...
That sounds about right.
Sounds about right. But you have, in your newsletter, you say, listen, I don't like this process, but if I have to swallow it, there are some criteria that I want met. Explain that.
Earmarks are a kind of, in my opinion, they're somewhat of a stain on the system. What it does is it says that your problem, this legislator's problem with water lines is greater than another one's problem with water lines. We all have infrastructure problems. But somehow, through the process, you get $1 million and you only get $100,000. If you want to fix, say, for instance, our water infrastructure system, well, let's go put $800 million in a pot and let's start systematically fixing them from worst to the best and start doing it ourselves, giving the money and fixing the problem. I've been very clear. If we're going to do earmarks, no charities. I appreciate what charities do. Government shouldn't be giving our tax dollars directly to charities. If you want to give your tax dollars to charity, your dollars to charity, write the check to charity. But it shouldn't be a government issue. So it ought to be infrastructure, basically bridges, roads, water, things like that. It first responders, I don't have a problem with that. And I got to be honest, after that, I've core functions of government. And I don't even like that. Because, again, it picks winners and losers. Why is your $1 million, fire truck more important than my $1 million
Let me stop you here. You know a lady by the name of Ray Felder,
yep,
right? Former state representative, Fort Mill, worked for a number of years to get money approved for a new operations center in Fort Mill.
No question.
Now, is that really considered an earmark, or is that a standalone piece of legislation that should have been put in for everybody to debate back and forth?
Should have been a standalone piece of legislation. It shouldn't be tucked into the budget. So in the way the budget has worked, and now luckily this new compromise that we've reached, it will change it next year, but the House sends over a budget with no earmarks. The Senate passes a budget with earmarks, and then the House sends back a third budget with earmarks. For the very first time, they put their earmarks on. That means no one has seen them. No one has reviewed them. No one didn't go through a committee process in the Senate. You just now it's time to vote, yes or no.
And that's on the whole bundle.
That's on the whole bundle. You don't get to pick and choose. You have to. It's all or nothing. And I get it. There are some. Representative David Martin just got $1 million to allow Winthrop to expand into Fort Mill. That is worthy. But what should have happened, in my opinion, is it should have gone to the CHE, the Commission on Higher Ed, and they should have said, yes, this is a worthy project. We're going to put $1 million toward it out of our budget. It shouldn't have – you shouldn't have to rely on earmarks to accomplish good things.
Okay. Now, with that being said, you all couldn't get you couldn't get the state's business done in time. You had to go back for special sessions and what happened.
A couple of times.
If we had – let's just say every one of those bills, the $350 million worth of earmarks, was $1 million, just for argument's sake. That would be 350 additional pieces of legislation that you would have to consider. That gets to be very cumbersome. How would you ever get it done?
Oh, I don't think it's actually you could break it out even better. You could say, look, we want to have every officer in South Carolina have a bulletproof vest. So we're going to put $50 million into a pot for that.
All right.
And then every municipality, every county could apply for a grant to that. And they all get equally. If you have a need and we are short 10 vests, I am short 4 vests. Put your hand out. Let's make sure. If we think it's worth funding, we should do it that way. What we shouldn't do is say, well, Representative, Kimmel, we're going to give you $1 million because. And, Senator Johnson, we're going to give you $10,000 because you don't like earmarks. And so we're going to show you, and here's your $10,000. It is a process that it isn't. shining light into an area that needs light on it. $350 million is a lot of money. The year before last, we didn't give any earmarks. Year before that, it was over half a million, $500 million. This is real money. You start saying, wait a minute, $500 million would what? Would pay for what? Oh, it'd pay for every teacher's raise in South Carolina. It would have hired more deputies on our roads. It would have filled in X amount of potholes. Not many, but X amount of potholes.
But you have constituents that expect you to bring the bacon home.
There are some who fully expect it to happen. And my response to that is, I don't think it's the role of state government to fill every want and need, or every want. We should do needs if they're core needs. Again, road infrastructure, law enforcement, these are things we can all get behind.
Other than that, it needs to be a standalone piece of legislation?
Needs to be that, or it needs to be a grant program where you apply and you actually have a need, not a want.
All right, so what's going to happen next session?
Well, next session, theoretically, the House is going to send a budget one, and it's going to have earmarks in it. And then the Senate's going to send back, and they can be studied, and the Senate will send a budget two back, and they can study our earmarks. They also said that their charities won't be getting any. And I don't have, look, there are a lot of good charities, but I remember Mick Mulvaney used to always talk about the Green Bean Museum. You know, when $1 million goes to the Green Bean Museum, you have to wonder, really? How many people have ties to this charity? Why is this charity more worthy than another charity? There's a lot of money being moved around. I just want light on it. And most importantly, I want your name on it. If you say you want $1 million for X, I want the legislator's name on it. I want to know exactly who's going in, and I want to know what state agency it's going through. Because none of this, oh, we're giving you $1 million, go to the DMV and they'll give you that check for $1 million to hand for a project that had nothing related to motor vehicles. That's how money has moved, you know, over the decades. We've come a long way in cleaning this up. We got a long way to go to get it a lot more cleaned up. I'm not an earmark guy. I've realized I'm probably on the outside looking in on that argument, which is fine. But if we're going to do it, let's shine as much light onto it so that you know where your money's being spent.
So to shine the light on it, as you say, with this new process, everybody's going to put their stuff in the bill. What are you going to do? Are you on your newsletter going to say, okay, here are the $300 million worth of earmarks for this year. I want you to know where they are.
100%. Yeah. Oh, I get a list. I have a list.
Feed it into AI and let the AI print it out for you.
Problem is that list is 27 pages.
But
I have a list, and I'm certainly, and I will say, that list is online. You can go to the legislature website. You can see the earmarks. We're doing a better job. We're not there yet.
Okay.
In a perfect world, if we need more police officers, we need guns, you need a fire truck, there ought to be a mechanism to naturally go get that done, as opposed to your legislator has to go and beg for that $1.5 million for this little municipality. There are a lot of little towns that need help. I get it. There are better ways to do it than we're doing it.
We'll see what happens next year. Senator Johnson, thank you so much for your service to the state and to the county and to the, you know, everybody around here, for the work that you've done on the school board, county council, and now at state senate, and we'll see what happens. Big election year coming up. Aren't you happy you're not part of it?
I can't tell you how glad I am.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Graves Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Find out more online at andersongraves.com. Okay, one more time. What the heck do we do here at Substation 2? It's called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week. The way we do it, yeah, that's why we want you to come in and find out. Ha-ha, he knows he's waiting now. All right, at the count of three, if you can read the King's English, we encourage you to participate. 1, 2, 3.
Spice, spice, spice.
Garden, garden, garden. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.